Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
They're here, they are in the building, and we are going to be doing Jen's Friends straight after these.
F-I-E-N-D-S. Jen's Friends.
Just Friends.
It is time for Jen's Friends. It's the part of the show where we go back over the best topics listeners were in touch about all week. So you know what they say, a real friend is the one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. Well, DJ and activist R. Kit and comedian Emma Doran just walked in, so we must be friends.
Feels organic.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It like really came together organically. Lads, thanks so much for coming in, first of all. It's great to see you both. I want to talk to you about this, right? Because on Monday, we heard from listeners on all sides of this debate on being friends with your parents and where is the line in being, you know, an independent adult. Emma, You have a podcast with your daughter.
Yes.
Are you ruining her independence?
Look, I think you can be friends with a parent up to a point.
Yes.
I don't think you can share with your parents when you have falling outs with partners or friends.
Yeah.
Because you will blacklist those people forevermore. So if I tell my mom.
Yeah.
Oh, Mary's a melt. She did this to me. My mother will never look at Mary again in the same way.
And never forget it. Yeah.
No, she'll always be in our bad books. I think so. You can, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But don't tell them anything about your romantic life.
That's fair.
And I don't want to hear anything about my mother's romantic life. I don't want to hear anything she's getting up to with my dad.
That's completely fair.
Yeah.
It's not a line that anybody wants to cross. Was there any time with your mum that you ever wished that you hadn't shared something with her?
Yeah, about my fella. Of course. But we would be fairly close because I think like 90% of Irish mothers, she used to be a nurse.
Yes.
So we have to remain close because I constantly have to ask her, what do you make of this? Can I show you this rash? Can I, you know what I mean? For the free medical advice. So we're close.
Yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I don't
regret any of those things because it saved me like 65 quid in the GPs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's the way to do it. Robbie, you lived at home like loads of people well into adulthood. Did that keep you in kid mode?
Yeah, I think it's something that a lot of people struggle with. Is when you're like, because I was living at home until I was 30 and I only moved out like 3 years ago. I was very lucky to find accommodation even to do so.
Absolutely.
And like, it was a situation where it was like, I kind of had to fight through that feeling. Because I think a lot of people go home and they find themselves suddenly in this mode where they're like, feeling like they're 16 again, even though they're into their adulthood. And that can be a real barrier towards, you know, parents and their children becoming friends. Because friends, to me, you know, there's like a parity. You know, there's like a kind of a level of respect, mutual respect.
For sure.
And I think sometimes, now, I love my parents and I think that they respect me, but sometimes they do treat me still like a child. And it's hard to take, you know.
It happens at Christmas, when you go home at Christmas. Mm. I don't know why it is. I don't know if because everybody's stressed out and all that kind of stuff, or you're sleeping in your childhood bedroom or whatever it is, but you do regress, don't you, when you go home for Christmas?
Big time. But you got to push against that.
That's
the thing. It's because like we are adults actually, Afric, and I'm proud to be an adult, and I want my parents to recognize that actually.
Absolutely.
And I think if we do that, then we're going to be the best pals.
It's so funny because like you say, it's people are living at home well into their 30s now because of like the absolute impossibility to find, you know, to find accommodation or to buy a house or whatever it is. But what about once you moved out? Did that make it easier to be an adult then around them, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. Like, as in, like, to be honest, I think actually living with them through the 20s, like, as in, it was challenging, but I think we made a lot of progress through those times as well, which was great. It was
good.
You know, I think, and it was just one of those things as well where it was out of real necessity, like having to live at home all the time. I think it was kind of it got to a point because I think there is a nice turning point when you become an adult that you can contribute back to your parents' life in a way in which they contributed to yours.
That's true.
When you were growing up, do you know what I mean?
And
when that happens, I think that is something that really kind of establishes an ease of friendship between the two people because you're actually giving back to this person who's shown you a lot of care in raising you through your life or whatever. So I think then that maybe is something that can foster that mutual respect, which is so important for friendship.
It really is. Emma, did you move out, like, what age were you when you moved out?
Yeah, I was 23 and I have a 20-year-old now. Yeah. So excuse me, but I'm panicking. Is she going to be at home for another 10 years? Like, it's not very nice, like, this mutual respect stuff once you move out. Could you not have been throwing them a few quid while you were living at home? So, yeah, I'm a bit shook by that.
Yeah.
I've another 10 years.
You're going to go home and reevaluate.
It all sounds lovely, but come on, come on, come on. I don't care if you have to share a house with 15 people. Like,
I know.
It's time. So.
She's rattled to her core. She didn't realise this. Yeah.
No, so I was. I think I was like 23, but in fairness, I had done plenty of mooching because I had a kid when I was 18.
So I was mooching
with my child.
Of course. Yeah, we have to.
But so we had kind of entered the kind of adult relationship with the parents fairly early, but it is so much easier to have that friendship with them once you've moved out.
Yeah. Everybody has a bit of distance.
Everyone has a bit of distance. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's hormones calm down.
I think when you live at home, it's very hard to have the line between what's your private life.
Yeah.
Because when I lived at home, I know my mom used to keep my brothers informed of my comings and goings and what I was up to. And I was like, no, you can't tell them. I'll have to, if they want to know stuff, they'll have to ask. So she was kind of like doing, you know, like, you know, releasing press releases for me all the time. So, yeah, the bit of distance, but hopefully, so, like, please, can we do something about the housing crisis?
Yeah, please.
I have children. They need to be there eventually. Yeah,
Emma needs to get rid of these kids.
Yeah, like, visit and all that, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. We'll agree a time and date.
Yeah, totally.
Lads, the other thing that we were talking about this week was on Tuesday, because loads of listeners were in touch about their decisions to try and take some time away from alcohol, because Jen admitted to being what she called sober curious, right? Now, Robbie, you don't drink, but you work in the nightlife industry. So what are the good and bad sides of that?
Oof, well, yeah, I've kind of been like on and off. Like, I've not been like totally teetotal. I was like, I didn't really drink through my 20s for a good few years. And then the pandemic, I kind of got back on it with the pandemic, for very understandable reasons, I think.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then kind of recently just kind of came back off it as well. It's really interesting, like, it being like sober in Ireland, because it's such an important part of so much our social relations
in many ways as well.
Like, so,
because we never developed like a cafe culture or anything like that you'd see in kind of mainland Europe.
Totally, yeah. And like, so, like, I would have been like, you know, I would have been running like a lot of parties and clubs, and like, you know, you would have been around a lot of substances in my 20s. But like, I think as well with the role I had in those things, I was running those parties. So you have a duty of care to people that are at those parties. So it was kind of easy. I was in a role. But at the same time, if like, you know, just normal kind of even meeting somebody on a night out, it's way harder when you're sober. It's like, because people are on a completely different level. Like, you know what I mean? If I'm out there sober and somebody's drinking, it's just like kind of a hard situation to have a spontaneous romantic moment or anything like that. And like, you have to be like, oh, do you want to go on a date? But maybe you don't even want to go on a date. Maybe you just want to smooch on a dance floor.
And maybe, like, you won't remember that I asked you.
For real. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so, like, it's like, there's like, I think simple things like that, which are really challenging.
Yeah.
But I think something that is really empowering about it, like, I have this distinct memory when I was in my 20s and I was in a club and I was dancing, and I like to dance. Mm. I find it a very meditative, cathartic experience. And I was getting a bit freaky with my, like, I was just like, I probably looked like a bit of a weirdo, to be honest. And I looked across the room and I saw somebody I know, and they were just giving me the kind of real stink eye, like, just,
oh,
like,
no,
like, what's he doing? And I just, in my head, I remember just really clearly thinking, I don't care. And then I just kept dancing.
Great.
And like, getting through that was just such a hurdle, like, to get over in my mind.
Because I think, like, that's inhibitions and stuff, isn't it? Yeah. Like, if you can have, you can get past your inhibitions when you're sober.
Yeah.
You might need the booze in a lot of cases.
Basically, yeah. Like, I think that's the thing. And it's just getting over that first. It can be so awkward. Like, don't get me wrong. It's so awkward. It's also a nightmare if you're out in a pub and like, you're having to pay like $3.50 for a sparkling water.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like,
absolutely.
But who knows? Maybe they'll start putting kombucha on tap or something like that.
You said there that you kind of got a bit more into boozing a little bit during the lockdowns and stuff. And I think that was the case for a lot of people. Did it help with the kind of boredom or the anxiety of it all? Or was it just kind of like, we're here, so, you know?
Yeah, I think it was just kind of, we're here, to be honest. I think it was like, should we try anything now, to be honest, get her out of this mindset. But I think I'm lucky as well. Like, I think, and when you take time away from booze, I think when you come back to it, you realise that it is kind of like poison. Do you know what I mean? It's really, really fun poison, don't get me wrong. You get a, you have a great time on the poison.
Yeah.
But like, sin, my body just, it doesn't respond well to drink, like, inflammation and all that, but even like emotionally, the hangovers, I can't deal with the emotional aftermath of a of even just like a fun, like enjoyable night out. It's just like, it really takes it out of you. Do you know what I
mean? Think, yeah, and it's the older you get as well, the worse it gets. I think.
God, the 30s are no
they're
help.
No
I'm
joke.
I'm saunaing every time I have a pint. I'm going straight to the sauna afterwards.
Emma, you went the other way and you kind of drank less. The lockdown stage and the pandemic stage and stuff. What happened there? What happened there?
Yeah, I think it was the thing of I was. Sure, it was.
Go on.
Sure, it was.
Go on.
It was the flame emojis on Instagram. I was exhausted sending the flame emojis.
I know.
Exhausted.
I know exactly what you mean.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
When you're at home,
everything can't be flames.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know? But
and,
it was.
But it was a different time. So I kind of, I got into fitness and stuff.
Oh, what and, a lick.
I became a lick during lockdown. I think, but I totally know what you're saying about drink. Because like with gigs, I don't drink at gigs.
Do you not? Yeah.
No, because, you know, some weeks you might have 6 gigs a week or more,
true.
Or whatever.
Yeah, of course.
And it really is that thing of, I think actually stand up, even if you, it's real way of like, you lose your inhibitions and your filter is, my filter's kind of broken forevermore. So I don't mind now at this stage going out and not drinking. I don't think anybody notices. And I don't know if I notice that much. But the sober curious thing is that, that's kind of an annoying phrase.
It is.
We'll have to get another one for that.
Yes. It's like, an annoying phrase.
It is kind of a bit annoying.
It is.
But just a smidgey.
Needs more flame emojis.
It needs more flame emojis,
doesn't it?
Of course it does.
Yeah.
But you are, you must be, when you're not drinking, when you're on doing your gigs, sometimes you might be the only sober one in the room.
Yeah,
do you
it
know?
Can be. Yeah,
yeah. Does that and do you notice that when you're?
You definitely do, or you'd know it pretty well, like at different times.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you know,
imagine.
Even depending what time your gig is on to, or what day, you know, because Fridays are different to Saturdays,
of course.
And it's our people just say to you what they thought about the gig.
Yeah.
You have to take into equation what time it is and did you see them at the bar or not.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, which is a lovely compliment.
It
but
is.
If we were enunciating, I'd love it even more.
That'd be great.
But look, everyone's having a good time. I'm just a cheapskate because I just want to drive home from
gigs.
That's
completely fair.
And I just get milk and bread on the way home.
Do exactly the same thing.
You know, so, and I might have a drink when I get home.
It's also being able to leave when you want to leave.
There's a freedom in that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, like there's actually, going out and not having a drink, actually there's a great freedom to it because you're kind of in charge of exactly how you want your night to go.
Completely, yeah.
But still, look.
Sober comedian.
Make time for flame emojis.
Sober curious comedian.
Yes.
I love it.
Don't use sour curious.
Put that on your next poster.
Yeah. That's the
quote.
That's the next tour. Sober curious.
Lads, I want to talk to you about motivation, right, as well. Because on Wednesday, people were getting in touch about what gets them going before work or like a workout or something like that. So I told Jen, this is a nod to my own self-esteem. I like to tell Jen, or I told Jen that I like to threaten myself in the mirror. Don't you piss up. Don't you piss up, right? That kind of thing.
Get real
in healthy.
Your own face.
Get in my own face, you know. Get the confidence going. Really good for that. Emma, you're into self-care. You don't take my approach of abuse.
I do the opposite.
Yeah, good. Lovely. I'm glad. Good. Yes.
I do the opposite. No, it's fake, obviously.
Of course.
It's all fake.
But I tell myself that I'm deadly.
Yeah, brilliant.
That I'm great. And with gigs and stuff like that, I'm like, they want to enjoy themselves. You want to enjoy yourself. We're all there to enjoy ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's enjoy ourselves.
Brilliant.
Because I do find that if my mind can be just so easily distracted or it can be so easily like taken out of what I'm doing, I want to be able to just enjoy it in the moment. There and then. But look, I'm still Irish. I still hate myself.
You've got a core that's secretly not Irish, I think.
I don't know. Maybe there could be some American cousins, you know,
that have been rubbing off on me. American cousins in there,
But no, I do. I do believe in like visualizing things going well.
Yeah.
I find that like does help me.
Taryn O'Sullivan, who works on, you know, does newsy bits on this show, she's a comedian as well, she says the same thing. She's like, she does the visualization, she does the affirmation, all that kind of stuff.
I do the whole shebang. And I mean, look, you wouldn't be able to catch me going to mass. Want to talk about horoscopes for 10 minutes?
100%.
Absolutely. Is Mars in retrograde? Yes, it is. Like, totally. Get me some moon water, whatever.
Robbie, you're a DJ as well, and yours would, like, I presume then would be music. Is it related to music? You're kind of like getting the zone kind of thing?
Definitely. Like, I think like music is, like, I find that because I got a little bit into exercising as well during the pandemic, but I like to cycle. And so I have like a little Bluetooth speaker that I put in my handlebars.
Brilliant.
And I basically, like, in the space when the clubs are closed, I just turned up this Bluetooth speaker and cycled around the park all the time. And so, yeah, music would be a big one where it would like drum. But I think I also very much relate to what you're saying, Emma, in relation to like, to reframing things, so like in your getting yourself into a calm state, because I think what I've found over the years is that you can psych yourself up, but sometimes you can psych yourself up a little bit too much.
True.
It always reminds me of like that video of Paul O'Connell before that rugby match where he's like pure manic aggression and it was just like, that's just not sustainable. Do you know what I mean? In my life, I just don't think that's going to be good. And it's
and
also not
seen him playing with the carrots, I tell you as well.
I think he maybe has left those days behind him, thank God.
Pure manic aggression, weird energy. No, for a DJ as well.
Depends on the club now, you know.
True,
you know?
But, true.
But yeah, basically, I think it's like, you know, what you want to have something that's a bit more consistently, can apply it in a bit more of a consistent way. And I think, being in a calm state is actually much more motivating than being in a highly emotional state. But then, I don't know, not to get too philosophical, but I do like... I think that this is kind of almost the purpose of art in general. It gives us these like emotional experiences. So, because sometimes you can listen to a song and it could be a very aggressive song. Maybe it will get Paul O'Connell really going, but then the song will end and then the emotion kind of ends as
true.
And you get this experience of it and you get yourself kind of familiarized with it, but you don't actually go full.
No, you but know, you can tap into it kind of when you need it.
Yeah, because I think it's like, it is that thing where you have to prepare for the worst, but hope for the best.
I like that.
Yes.
So, lads, just finally, really quickly, one of the things we were talking about family favourites, right? And ranking your family members. Do they exist? And if you have to ask, really, it isn't you. So, Emma, you had the odds stacked in your favour as the favourite. Why do you think that you're the favourite?
I'm 100% the favourite because I'm the most entertaining. I'm the cutest. I'm the only girl. I'm the youngest.
Those affirmations are working so
well.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'm
really,
just cutie
really
pie adorable. And so I think I am the favourite. But look, it's tough competition because both my brothers are actually married. Okay. One of them who's married, he's actually bald.
Oh, wow.
And he managed to get married, but do you know what he's after doing? He did this thing. It's not, I don't know. First of all, I want to say I don't mind baldness. It's just the fact he has the confidence of like a much younger man with hair. Do you know that kind of way?
He does that. Well, listen, if you can get that kind of confidence.
Well, maybe he's doing the same. He's probably doing the same stuff.
He's affirming,
But he did this sneaky thing where he married a woman who's not Irish. So she thinks he's full of like Irish charm and wit.
Yes.
And we're like, sorry. But no, I think I'm the favourite. I'm pretty sure I'm the favourite.
Good.
Yeah, I wasn't always the favourite. Were one of the brothers was an awful lick there for a while. And
knocked you off track.
Yeah, well, he was doing this thing. Like, he was, when we were growing up, he was like coming home at the time he was meant to be. And we knew where he was all the time. And he was honest and whatever. So there was a rough couple of years. But I think I've made it back in the good books.
Yeah, perfect.
So I definitely think they
ended up there anyway.
Yeah,
that's
they definitely exist.
Good. Yeah, yeah. They definitely do. 100%. Robbie, nervous. Are you the favourite or no?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's a matter of perspective. You know what I mean? Because I think that they're probably, some of my siblings would say
it's
that
it's a real
I'm the
thing that not the favourite would say.
Yeah, it is true. It is true. Let's admit that. Now, like, I'm in a weird position in my family because I'm 11 years after the next oldest.
Oh, so wow.
They call me the happy surprise.
Happy surprise.
So, yeah, like, there was like three, like, the oldest is 15 years old and it's 13 and 11. So,
brilliant.
I was like, yeah, I kind of almost had an only child, like, raising.
Kinda.
Way,
did,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, in similar ways, I also kind of also had kind of five parents.
Yeah.
But
it's by default.
Yeah, I think that they definitely think that I'm the favorite, but I definitely think that amongst them, there might be a little secret favorite lurking.
It does,
you know what I mean?
Vary depending on who you ask. That
yes,
is a fact.
Perspective is important.
I really appreciate both of you coming in. You're both my favorites. Emma Doran and Orkit, otherwise known as Robbie. Thanks so much for coming in and being my friends, even though you coincidentally have gigs coming up. Robbie, what are you doing?
So basically, at the moment, I'm working on a play called Dissolution, which is... based on the experiences of a young Irish man in the gay porn world.
Oh,
and it's
going
to be showing in the theatre festival from the 11th to the 15th of October in the Project Art Centre.
Brilliant.
Even closer to home, next week I'm playing a gig in Izakaya. That's free in town.
Unreal.
On Georgia Street. And actually tonight I'm playing at this thing called Vanishing Point, which is like kind of be like a soft space out in Civic Theatre in Tala at 6 o'clock. DJing, it's going to be like ambient sets. They're trying to design a place where, you know, for maybe people who are a bit more sensorily sensitive to loud noises.
Brilliant.
And stuff.
Yeah.
And envisaging it as a place to sleep. We all need a place to sleep these days. We're talking about solutions to the housing crisis. I don't think ambient gigs are necessarily a solution, but maybe it could
be. They're not going
to
hurt.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%. Emma, what about you? You've big gig coming up this weekend. Where are you doing? Where are you going? And how can people get to see you?
I am in Vicar Street tomorrow.
Nice.
So there's a couple for that. And then Pooka Festival in October.
Lovely, brilliant.
And then I'll have a new tour next year, but sure.
Unreal.
Emma Doran, comedy.com. That's
love
all
it.
My gigs there, yeah.
Lads, I really appreciate you coming in. Thanks so
Thanks
much for joining me today.
Jen Zamparali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.